In the new movie Helen, Ashley Judd plays a woman who would appear to have it all, a fulfilling job as a music professor, a handsome, loving husband, and a great relationship with her teenage daughter, but it's not enough to protect her from a debilitating depression. The illness threatens to take everything away from her relationships to her very life. The film opens tomorrow at the Quad Cinema on West 13th Street, and I'm very pleased it has brought Ashley Judd to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
It's not always talked about, but many people have personal experience with depression, whether it's themselves or someone close to them. Did you do a lot of research, or were you able to draw upon real-life experiences in preparing for this role?
Both. And I like the way you put that, because depression is the leading cause of disability in the United States, and that means that people both experience it firsthand, and so many others are affected by another person's depression.
And this film, Helen, has a lot of denial, that's something that I have seen in any number of friends.
And we know what denial stands for. Don't even know I am lying.
The film is dedicated to a friend of writer-director Sandra Nettelbeck, who suffered from depression and ultimately committed suicide. What kinds of discussions did you have with her about how you should approach the role?
Sandra is a great auteur, and her screenplay was absolutely superb and flawless. And so much of what I needed to know was already on the page. And there was a really exquisite feeling tone to the screenplay. So, for example, I think by page 5 or 6, I was saying, I have no idea what this is about, but I have to do this movie. Mm. I was reading the script on a flight, actually, and I kept leaving my seat to go to the lavatory where I could weep in private. It was so deeply moving. And I think that Sandra just communicated almost, well, the words on the page and then wordlessly on set what needed to happen. And I read amazing books such as Andrew Solomon's Noonday Demon, and of course the great Styron book Darkness Visible, and of course Kay Jamison's book about suicidality were really informative to me.
I would assume that this role was kind of physically or at least emotionally draining.
Apparently my face changed during the part of the film. I mean, it was not noticeable to me, but others said there was a real appreciable difference.
Was it shot in sequence?
It was largely shot in sequence, yes. And when I had finished reading the screenplay, I sent it to two really brilliant clinicians I have the privilege of knowing, because the way I like to approach my work is real and authentic, and to have that experience really fully in my own body, live truthfully under imaginary circumstances, as the great Sanford Meisner would say. But I had some concerns about whether or not I could play the disease without being in the disease.
Right. This is something too easy to take home with you.
And fortunately, by the grace of God, I didn't have to. I blew out my appendix. I mean, I donated an organ to the cause.
You had an attack of appendicitis while you were filming
imploded.
This?
Imploded. Totally blew that sucker up. Mm-hmm.
Helen develops a friendship with one of her students who's also seriously depressed. In fact, we get the feeling at the beginning she's in a lot worse shape than Helen is. She's played by Lauren Lee Smith, who gives a really intense performance. Did it help you as an actor to be able to bounce off of somebody who was doing such a great job?
Oh, Lauren did an amazing job. And that long scene, and I do hope someday that Sandra has the opportunity to put together what is truly her definitive cut of the film, and that can be seen by a wider audience.
Oh, this is a compromise that she had to make?
It's not necessarily, well, you know, I don't think that that's an inappropriate word. However, it does have an insinuation of some degradation of the material. And it's, I think, a reality of the marketplace that this film was only going to get made if we could make it at a certain price. Mm-hmm. And then there was the second wave of reality, which is this film's only going to be released if it can be a certain length and, you know, things like that. But what Lauren and I did in this amazing scene, when basically we're making ourselves exceedingly vulnerable to each other and describing the details of our suicidal ideation, the way that was written, there were a lot of specifics, you know, but we backed out of that for the cut because it was maybe a little too much, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the most harrowing and profound and intimate moments I've ever had as an actor. You know, Lauren really fully invested in her character and me and mine, and talking about that It was pretty special.
What kind of feedback have you gotten from people who've been touched by depression and seen the film?
The feedback has been really moving. I think the experience the whole cast and Sandra had in Sundance was indicative of the general response. There was kind of an unnaturally lengthy quiet when the last credit rolled, and people were moved, and then there was an ovation, and then there was, you know, the kind of dialoguing that one doesn't necessarily associate with the post-film Q&A. It was pretty deep. And, you know, to go back to what you said at the top, so many people are affected by someone else's depression. And I was thinking of a statistic that I think I saw on the internet when I was doing some research for a paper, that for every alcoholic, 8 people are affected by the alcoholic's behavior. And it's similar with depression. And so we all have a story to tell.
I know I do. I have a stepson who killed himself.
So you're a survivor.
He was very seriously depressed.
Yeah.
And was fighting it for years and years and years. You mentioned Sundance, and you've had an interesting career, because Sundance has played a major role in your career. At the same time, you've done a lot of big budget films. But your first big film was Victor Nunez's Ruby in Paradise, and that was a hit at Sundance in 1993?
In fact, it was my very first film. And yes, we were at Sundance in 93 and had the wonderful distinction of earning the grand jury prize. And Victor gave me the experience of a lifetime. You know, to come out of the gate with that script and that director and that film was an enormous gift.
He has a new film out as well.
Oh,
we had Ruben Blades here the other day. He's one of the stars of the film. What is the difference in when you're working in something that obviously has to be done on a tight budget and is attempting to be art and deep and serious and doesn't worry as much about getting a huge audience as about being truthful? There have to be certain constraints. You mentioned that some things have to be edited out. Are there other kinds of problems? Are there times when you wish you could have done a fourth take, but you just couldn't? In a film like this, I don't mean this film in particular.
Well, I just wrapped a picture called Flypaper, which was great, good fun, an exceptionally talented ensemble cast. And I did notice that we did not do a lot of takes. And I was, you know, the one who was significantly opted out of my career for a number of years and chose to go back to school and things like that. And I was like, hello, I'd like to go again. You know, I don't necessarily have the muscles that you guys have right now. But it's really fun to be able to have the flexibility to go back and forth between smaller films and larger films. And I would venture to say that really my heart is probably with the smaller ones. When you're talking about what the process is like on set, I was thinking about Bug. You know, I lived about 15 minutes from the set. I'd roll out of bed, have a cup of tea, and walk straight in. We were able to shoot in sequence, and there was no hair and there was no makeup, and I just got to absolutely lose my ever-living mind playing Agnes, and it was just a glorious experience.
My guest is Ashley Judd, whose latest film is Helen. She plays Helen. It opens tomorrow at the Quad Cinema on West 13th Street. We were talking about, well, you went back to school, and I want to talk about that in just a moment. But you also, in the middle of this movie career, went to Broadway. A lot of actors see theater as the real love, and then the movies as the thing that they do to pay for their theatrical Jones. Is that the way it worked with you? You began in films, didn't you?
I did begin in films. And people like Cherry Jones and Margot Martindale are some of my acting heroes, and they spend so much time on the boards. And I wanted to have that experience. I mean, I was very fortunate that Scott Ellis in 1994 cast me as Madge in Picnic at the Roundabout. I mean, what a great director, great theater, great piece of material and role. It was heaven. And it wasn't necessarily something for which I considered myself a candidate. I had the audition and I got the part. It was amazing. And I really enjoy going back and forth, because on the one hand, there's something really cunning about film and being able to reprise a moment, potentially ad infinitum, and to experiment and really slice and dice it down to the smallest gesture and to inform that. And then there's the absolute thrill, the challenge, the kind of guts it takes to sustain the narrative arc from start to finish. Like, what a wow that is.
Well, in film, you also can just make a little change your expression on your face slightly, and everybody knows what you're thinking. On the stage, you have to act with your whole body.
And to find the truthfulness in that modulation, and for it not to be just a technical adaptation, but genuinely a modulation that comes from the inner experience. Now that's, I think, what separates the girls from the women.
So here you are, you're working in films, you're doing theater, and then you decided to go back to school. You went to Harvard. I would have thought a school a little closer to your home in the South, or in, you spent a lot of time in Scotland, or in New York,
next,
or
their
Los
PhD
Angeles.
Is shorter.
What was it? I'm sorry.
I was saying Edinburgh could be next because their PhD program is shorter.
So what was it about Harvard and the program at Harvard that had you now going to Boston on weekdays?
No. I lived.
Lived there?
Yeah, I did the deal.
Outside of the show business centers.
Well, I've lived in rural Middle Tennessee since 1993. I mean, my house burned down not long after Ruby and Parrot. In fact, I was doing a publicity tour to support the film. And the little house I had been renting out west burned down, and I never went back. So, you know, there's a lot of pluses and there's some minuses to that, too. On the one hand, I'm quite isolated from the creative community and don't necessarily have very strong and enduring relationships with my acting peers because I live geographically so far away. And, of course, living in Tennessee is completely fantastic. So that's a little bit off the subject. But I did I looked very seriously at the Master's in Public Health program at Berkeley because there's someone there with whom I serve on the board of Population Services International who's a great hero and mentor of mine. And that was a strong possibility. And I also thought it would be very appropriate to see what Vanderbilt had to offer. It's an hour portal to portal from our farm, and sat with the great Volney Gay, who's chair of a couple of departments there, a super interesting man, who just shocked the hell out of me, frankly, at the end of our visit by dropping this bomb saying, "Why aren't you going to Harvard?" And I was like, "Do you want to know what I really said? It just has a swear word in it. Why?"
No, you can't say it.
Why am I not putting a rocket ship up my bum and going to the moon? It was just a bizarre suggestion. And he turned out to have completely nailed it. And I ended up at the right place at the Kennedy School doing the right degree, with an amazing cohort that represented 98 countries.
And to what end? Do you imagine sometime that you'll quit acting and run an NGO?
I don't know that running an NGO is the best use of me. It's certainly something that I've thought about. However, I think that my skill set lies more in the being entrusted with the sacred narrative of the individuals on the ground who are being helped by the NGO and reached by programs, and then taking those stories to the meta level and sharing them using this rather strange platform that I have been given.
Well, most people with that platform, just they go, they have the pictures taken in Sudan or wherever, and bring some publicity to the cause that they think is important. You've gone a little deeper than that here.
Well, I've been very fortunate, Leonard. You know, I've been allowed the privilege of being deeply associated with some really extraordinary organizations like PSI, like Ruchira Gupta's APNI App Worldwide, which is a stupendous anti-slavery organization in India, or Equality Now that's based out of New York, and Women for Women International that Zainab Salbi founded that works with women in post-conflict countries. I have an access that really touches and moves me and for which I'm deeply grateful.
Did you give up the acting for the full time you were at Harvard, or did
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, but I really started opting out from my acting career quite a few years ago, culminating with, a bit of a furlough. I chose to go to treatment for codependency and depression, which was a beautiful gift to have given myself. And then I just wanted
to
So
that
sort
also
of...
gave you some insight into Helen, I'm assuming.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that, you know, you don't have to end up – you have a choice. You can end up like Helen and find a solution, or you can end up like Matilda and die.
I didn't want to give that away. But okay.
Oh, darn.
But it does have a semi-happy ending, yes.
Well, it shows that there are choices, that we do have choices, and not making a decision is a decision.
But I gather that you're going to continue acting, just not pursue it as a full-time career. Do take the parts that you like, the parts that seem like they're going to be fun.
Here's a little Harvardese for you. What I have discovered is that I have portfolios of experience, Leonard. So I've got
that's acting. The jargon there?
Well, it's just somebody, because I was trying to kind
Next
of reify.
MBA,
you know, I had to do a CV, right, for my application. And the way we do CVs in my world is a little different. It's like this narrative biography thing. And I'm like, do a CV going back to like being in the honors program at the University of Kentucky. It was kind of an unruly assignment for me. And one of my professors, I think, captured my professional experience well. I have portfolios of experience. And it's not an either or zero sum game. I really think that I can do it all, maybe not at the same time as Madeleine Albright has taught me, but I can do it all.
But you do have a different kind of experience than most students. You walk into a room, people have assumptions about you, for better or worse. They have already made all sorts of decisions about you, which can both help and also hinder.
It's none of my business what people think of me. And I just shot that hand up. You know, definitely it was ascertained at the beginning that I didn't have trouble speaking up in class.
Well, I have to tell you that this performance in Helen is incredibly brave. I assume that you hardly wore any makeup throughout two-thirds of the film, and you really allowed yourself to look incredibly depressed. The performance is very affecting, and I want to thank you so much for being with us. Ashley Judd, who stars as Helen in the film called Helen, which opens tomorrow at the Quad Cinema on West 13th Street. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Leonard. Pleasure.